The Homeland Security Department wants to ride the wave of mobile connectivity to improve law enforcement communications. After unsuccessful attempts over the last decade, DHS is leading a new effort based on commercial technology. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is with me today in the studio as co-host, but putting on his reporter's hat, he has details on the latest attempt to create interoperable radio network. Jason, how is DHS's effort to build this interoperable radio network different this time than in the past 10 or 15 years?
Well, first, let me switch hats. Wait a minute. There it is. If you could see it in the radio, you'd know I'd have my other hat on now. Well, I think the biggest difference this year is going to be the dependence on that commercial technologies instead of building their own. You may remember those projects such as the Integrated Wireless Network, or IWIN, that was an effort run by the Justice Department, or the SAFECOM program, that was a Bush administration Quicksilver initiative to create and develop standards for land mobile radios.
That one was before 9/11 even.
That was even correct. Now, IWIN never received enough funding and had only limited success for justice and really never expanded beyond the Justice Department. In fact, years ago, I remember DHS pulled out of IWIN totally, and the Treasury Department, well, let's just say they became an inactive participant. As for SAFECOM, they developed the P25 standard, and while that's been widely accepted, adoption has been slow. Richard Spires is the DHS Chief Information Officer. He says DHS has spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and still they have significant issues. Interoperability between federal agencies, between federal and state and local law enforcement agencies, to name a few. Spires says the wave of commercial broadband 4G LTE capabilities are outstripping what the government has done in the past. And Spires says DHS hopes to build off those earlier attempts.
We have put together a joint program office from across DHS, and I'm very, very pleased to be able to announce this, where we've gotten all of the components that have this need together to work together, okay, in one joint program office. We've reached out to the Justice Department. We've been reaching out to some other organizations across the federal government because we think that this is time to take this on, right? We want to work with the industry. In fact, later today, I'm going to be in a governance board meeting on this. We're going to be talking about how is it that we work with the industry on, if you will, advancing the capabilities to be able to meet our needs, but do it in a way where we're buying this as a service rather than us having to invest and run services ourselves.
Now, Spires was speaking Friday at the FCA Bethesda breakfast. So when he talked about a meeting later today, he was talking about meeting later on Friday. Now, he says the effort is a chance for DHS to leapfrog with technology. He says this could be, they go through a standard contracting process, but he's also considering challenges and prizes to really help this, to help really solve this long-term problem.
Now, does this project also, or this idea really, it's not quite a project yet, I guess, does it fit into the whole idea of getting more efficiency out of IT in general?
I think it absolutely does. You know, DHS is the second largest civilian agency when it comes to the IT budget, $5.7 billion. Its requests dropped by about $37 million between 2012 and 2013, but it's also coming under pressure to move money to the mission areas and away from the back office systems. Spires has taken several steps, including moving 9 different services to the public or private cloud, email collaboration, web hosting, to name a few. But he also asked DHS component CIOs to do more.
We were given some tough targets to meet, and in working through my own CIO council within DHS, one of the things that we decided to do, not that all the CIOs at the component level necessarily like this, but we collectively agreed that we would take a 10% reduction across the board in our IT infrastructure in FY13. It's somewhat of a challenge to ourselves to say, look, we've got to figure out a way to really streamline our infrastructure through shared first kinds of initiatives that Steve mentioned and my colleagues mentioned, in order to then plow back those additional funds, because we're pretty much flatlined within DHS on the IT side right now, plow that back into more business and mission-oriented investments to support our real customers. And we've done that.
Now, the other thing DHS is doing is consolidating not just data centers, which is something that's happening around government, but also networks. Spires says DHS is merging several disparate networks into the Homeland Security Information Sharing Network, or the HISN. That's their unclassified network.
We really are putting a lot of emphasis now on upgrading that system to the point, and I was just in a review of this the other day, and it was heartening to hear this. There's more than 1,000 new members on HISN on the IP side every month now. And that, I think, says an awful lot about the outreach and the information sharing that's going on that many of us wouldn't even, you know, you don't see these things in news articles, right? But there's really, this is very, very impressive. We have a consolidation effort, okay, using HISN as our go-to platform for that sensitive but unclassified information. Last year, we consolidated four other portals into HISN. This year, we're planning on consolidating in three more, and we've got about a dozen more after that to do.
So, Jason, how does all of this fit in with that idea of sharing services, something that Van Roekel at OMB-level CIO is pushing?
You're right. I think all three of those efforts that DHS talked about is trying to meet that OMB mandate. Now, shared services is going to be a big focus of this administration 2012 and beyond, as you mentioned. In fact, as a reminder, this week, March 1st, agencies have that deadline to decide which two commodity IT services will be moved to a shared service provider by the end of 2012. That was part of the IT passback guidance that OMB sent to agencies back in November, which we also reported on. You can find that on federalnewsradio.com. Now, federal CIO Stephen Van Roekel, the aforementioned person you said, he says there's a lot of discussion about doing more with less, but he's tired of that talk. He wants to talk about doing more with how and how technology can drive those efficiencies and add value. And he says that means agencies need to stop doing those 3, 5, 7 year projects.
I'll call on you as the vendor community, because I'm going to call on the agencies of government to really think about how do we take that kind of future first step? How do we build solutions? I've talked to appropriators on the Hill and said, you know, next time someone comes and pitches that big price tag multi-year project, make sure I'm involved and let's talk about how to do that in a way that we can actually develop it in a future first way that uses agile lean startup methodology.
Now, in fact, this is already starting to happen across government. The Veterans Affairs Department has all of their projects have milestones every 6 months, and they're expected to deliver value in that time frame. And if they don't, as we've talked with Roger Baker, the CIO over at VA in the past, they have some explaining to do. Now, it's that focus on value that cuts across those 11 priorities for 2012. Van Roekel detailed on Friday at the FCA breakfast. He says they include everything from the share first to future first to cybersecurity to mobile strategy that's coming, the draft one at the end of March, to modular contracting, which is this idea of agile development. Now, Van Roekel says he also has high hopes for two other programs to help agencies ensure they're getting that value. He says the Tech Fellows program received more than 5,000 applications, and he expects agencies to receive the fellows this summer. A second program is about changing the federal culture when it comes to developing programs.
We're piloting a program around entrepreneurs in residence right now in the federal government. This program intends to, in a non-conflicted way, rotate private sector people into government, say for 6 months, to act as coach, mentors on projects, things like that, to bring a new perspective. So you'll hear more from me on this. We've got some people actually working on it right now to sort of figure out the legal aspects and all the moving parts. We have a pilot running at the Food and Drug Administration right now with a person working on a team of entrepreneurs to focus on fast-tracking low-risk medical devices. And so we're going to see kind of what comes out of that and bringing that private sector perspective in.
Now, that person he's talking about is Frank Bateman, who's the entrepreneurial in residence at the FDA. Frank is the former SSA, Social Security Administration, CIO. Now, Van Roekel didn't offer too many new details from his presentation from a few weeks earlier in the 2013 budget request came out. But I think what he tried to do with this speech Friday was set the tone of expectations from both agency and from industry, and from what I can hear from the agencies that were on the panel discussion after Mr. Van Roekel spoke, VA, DHS, Agriculture, Defense Department, they seem to be hearing him and moving in the direction the administration wants to go. Shared services, IT efficiencies. I mean, take a look at, for instance, the DHS interoperable network to tag back all the way to the beginning of our conversation. That's something that's, done within DHS. But USDA's Chris Smith, the CIO, said, listen, we partnered with DHS to launch one of the first 4G networks for government in Hawaii just recently. So that is that concept of sharing is happening.
That's right. And the Air Force is also looking at 4G LTE for its bases, just to have some kind of interoperability among firefighters and ramp line workers and mechanics and pilots all within the base environments that they have. But this all sounds a lot like the early Bush administration Quicksilver projects. That is the methodology of fast deployments, because you already have infrastructure in place, in that case websites, to taking that method and putting it onto some of the mission critical areas, because we have big databases, fast communications already in place, and so that you don't need to spend months and years and decades building applications.
I would absolutely agree with that. I think two things came from the Bush administration's what was commonly known as Quicksilver, which I know probably Karen Evans, the former OMB administrator, is cringing when she hears that term anymore. But I think two things came from it. One, they realized, one, this can be done. And two, this has become the industry best practice. So why are we looking at these 3, 5, 7 year projects that the track record has not been good? And if they can get, you know, the modular approach and get value every 3 to 6 to 9 months, that's a much better way of doing things. I mean, it just makes sense.
Well, that's right. And if you tie in the data.gov effort with all these data sets being out there, then what do you do with all of it? That's kind of the app idea. Light, quick, easily deployed.
Exactly.
All over the place.
Make value. And the other thing what's going to be interesting is which two commodity services agencies are going to send to OMB for March, by March 1st. So that's something we'll follow up on.